Good morning, Bozweni family. Bozweni clan. A word that rang out, I read for the first time the summary of two weeks back. But a word that leapt into my spirit, which, you know, is also part of what I want to say this morning, is the word alignment. Alignment. Okay, we will get to the word, and I've not a number of scriptures, but a passage in the Word of God that I want to read, and I want you to bear with me because I want to read most of the verses of that passage. But we'll get to that later. You know, God has been faithful to us. Kan ons meer amens hoor daar van alle quotas af. Amid some extreme challenges and fiery trials, you know, we have a minister in our network, if you can call it. I can't even get to the name, but it's called Judah Kingdom Alliance. And we have a medical doctor. His name is Dr. Segi. And just the way that he can say it, he is saying that the people of God is under a Syrian attack. A Syrian attack. And if you want to know more about the Syrians, you can read the dealings of God with King Hezekiah. Then you get a picture. And we've heard about 2 weeks back of the spirit of Jezebel. You can remember that, those that were here. And it brought us to a point where, you know, we wanted to give up. We wanting to resign to the fact that somehow we have made a mistake. Have you felt that way? Amidst all of this, you know, I believe that God has really expedited in this year His purposes. And it's unfolding at an alarming pace. And I stood amazed, you know, and how God works. And it just has gone beyond my expectation. This is now me. And, you know, God works in this paradox or this irony. He says in His word that He has placed an open door before us. But we have little strength to move through that door. In that tension, you know, I know of severe strain, you know, change is normally, optimally, and most significant in our lives. Do you agree? It looks like, has somebody gone through difficult times during this year? Can I have your hand? Can I see your raising of your hand? Whoa, okay. We've heard 2 weeks ago, God is sifting, is purifying us, and bringing us into alignment. And that word just left, alignment. And this was a wonderful scripture that, you know, is so dear to my heart, and I've said it at the Steenberg household, and it's found in Ephesians 1 verse 11. However, you know, we need to know that during all of this, we need to be aligned to the purposes of God. Right? Everything worketh for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Ephesians 1 verse 11, for we had been foreordained, chosen and appointed beforehand in accordance with His purpose. Everybody say? His purpose. Who works out everything in agreement, and that agreement is with Himself. God can swear by no other greater than Himself. And He swore by Himself. He made an agreement. With the counsel and design of His own will. And everybody say? Amen. own will. His purpose, His will be done. And this is the Gethsemane, the oil press time. You know, when everything is at a epicenter where it can go either other way. And you know what is there before you and what you have to walk through. And Jesus say, not my will be done, but your will be done. And as the Son of Man, excruciating strain, severe, severe strain for what was waiting for him. And if I look at the word alignment, you know, there is so many metaphors that I want to just highlight. Metaphors, you know, in the English dictionary is a figure of speech. It's an expression, and it used to refer to something that it does not literally denote in order to suggest a similarity. Okay, that is a metaphor. And, okay, as an example, a metaphor is the Lord said, I am the vine and you are the... it speaks of an abiding relationship. He is the source, right? An abiding relationship is a prerequisite for fruitfulness. You need to be grafted in the vine to bear fruit. And the accountable relationship, a purpose to this relationship, and he gives a warning and say, if we have not spared the natural branches, what will then happen with the wild branch that has been grafted in? And if because of disobedience, he cut off the natural branches, what will he do with the wild branches? So the gardener say, I'm going to give another grace period. I'm going to tend. And then we will see. And there was this again an expectation of fruitfulness after the tending. Right? Is God tending with you? And everybody say, amen. And the expectation, so the accountable relationship is that you need to bear fruit. Okay. So that is the first short metaphor that comes into the Word of God. The second one is, he says, I am the cornerstone. Right. So a cornerstone is uniting two intersection walls. There's the cornerstone there. A cornerstone, corner. A cornerstone causes an alignment of the whole building. If that cornerstone is not properly there and the walls is not aligned, then this building won't fit in properly. Okay? So the cornerstone is a symbol of the union and a symbol of stability for the building. Are you the building? Yes. He is the head, and he provides strength and stability in the relationship. But the prerequisite is you need to be aligned. Right? Alignment. I am the good shepherd. Another metaphor. And the word speaks of he protects, he leads, he gives his life to the followers, he tends to his own, and his own knows his voice. So we care, he leads, and he protects. However, since when does the sheep dictate to the shepherd where to take me for pastures? Yeah? Right? If the shepherd comes, the shepherd leads. So the shepherd knows where is the wolf. The shepherd knows where is the pastures. But if the sheep decides, look here now, today I'm not going to be part of the flock. I'm going to be on my own. What is going to happen to alignment, people? Hebrews 12 verse 9 says, moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us. Aina? And we yield to them and respected them for training us. Shall we not much more cheerfully submit to the Father of spirits and so truly live? Okay, no, so not going out on your own limb, doing what you're supposed to do. You need to be part of and aligned to Him. Because He's our Father. We can't make the decisions. He needs to make the decisions. We will normally get into serious trouble if we decide that we are going to make the decisions in our lives. And normally most of that choices gets us into cul-de-sacs and in difficult places. But remember, God works in mysterious ways, they say. And it's part of His plan. You know? And I was thinking of another aspect of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son decides, look here, now I don't want to be part of this household anymore. So Father gives me what is mine, and I want to leave this household. I do not want to submit under your authority anymore. This is what he actually did when he left his father's for the father's household. And in the narrative, you will see what happened to him and where he found himself. But thank God, God had a plan for his life. And he discovered his father's love. He discovered who his father really was and what he really had beyond the wealth that his father had. Identity. So the two scriptures that speaks of this alignment. But speaking the truth in love, we will have to grow up in all aspects into the head, even Christ. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as the head over all things, the church. Not just that he has given us Christ as the head, headship overall, but he has put everything under him and he presented us Christ in that way. Not just the head, but everything subject to him. Okay, everything. The word says everything, and everything is everything. Okay. And the one metaphor that I want to then use the scripture that I said I want to read a number of verses is the church and as the bride metaphor. And with this, I want to highlight a few things which I know that it has really impacted me when I went through this word. And also it meant a lot to the household in Steenberg. So it's good that they will listen afresh again to this metaphor. Okay? The Bible says, for I am zealous for you with a godly eagerness and a divine jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband to present to you a chaste virgin to Christ. There is that relationship. For the husband is the head of the wife, and all wives say, it's in the Word of God, Ephesians 5, verse 23. As Christ is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. Another scripture that speaks of this, but is in the Old Testament, Isaiah 62, verse 3. You, Judah, shall no more be turned forsaken. Nor shall your land be called desolate anymore. But you shall be called. And that is a word that I'm trying to struggle to pronounce. Hephzibah. My delight is in her. And your land be called Beulah. The Amplified say, married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married, owned and protected by him. So if we look at this bridegroom-bride relationship, the scripture I want to read is found in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 13. I want you to turn there, please. Hosea chapter 2, verse 13. And I want to read a number of verses, and I want to expound on some of those verses. And I believe captured in that, you know, I stood so amazed in how the Spirit of God unfolded and opened up some of these verses to me personally and has been a source of strength. And I will visit upon her for the feast days of Baals. And we've heard 2 weeks ago the meaning of the name Jezebel is Baal exalted, unchaste, and unhusband. The name of Jezebel means this. Upon her for the feast days of Baals, when she burned incense to them and decked herself with her earrings and nose rings and her jewelry, so she adorned herself and went after her lovers and forgot me, says the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. And I will speak tenderly and to her and to her heart. And I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor, that is troubling, to be for her a door of hope and expectation. And she shall sing there and respond as in the days of her youth, and as at the time when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me Ishi, my husband, and you shall no more call me Bali, my Baal, for I will take away the names of Balaam the Baals out of her mouth, and they shall no more be mentioned or seriously remembered by their name. And in that day I will make a covenant, this is the agreement, for Israel with the living creatures of the open country and with the birds of the heavens and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword, abolish battle equipment and conflict out of the land, and will make you lie down safely. And in that day, our response is the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, which ask for rain to pour on the earth, and they shall respond to the earth, which begs for the rain it needs. And the earth shall respond to the grain and the wine and the oil, which beseech it to bring them forth. And these shall respond to Jezreel, which is called Restored Israel, who prays for the supply for them. And I will sow her for myself anew in the land, and I will have love, pity, and mercy for her, the bride. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. Until thus far. What a beautiful passage of this metaphor of how the husband is addressing an unfaithful wife. You know, we find that because of the love that God had, or Christ had towards us, the Father has towards us, we willingly submit or subject ourselves, and we recognize of Him being the husband, Him being the head, and we willingly submit ourselves to Him. And this wonderful grace, which is not just an unmerited favor, but also an empowerment to fulfill His purposes. Now here, the word speaks of an unfaithful wife. It talks how, you know, that she has other lovers, and she worships false things, and she adorned herself for this foreign husbands or foreign heads. And God visits her because of that. How we need to respond to the time of God's visitations in our lives. How can you entice somebody into a wilderness? How can you lure somebody into a wilderness? If you know there's a wilderness, you will never go there. Right? But only God can do this. The word visit, you know, in the Amplified speaks of punishment. But listen to how the husband speaks. And this is in the wilderness. And I will speak tenderly at her heart. This is in the wilderness because of what she has done. The wife is unfaithful, not subject to him. She goes after other men, and the husband speaks tenderly with her after luring her into the wilderness. Now, some of the dictionary words for lure is entice and charm. The language of intimacy and love. This is the husband that enticed the wife into a wilderness experience. And creates the opportunity there and a door. That is what the Word of God says. When we go into a wilderness experience, it is God's dealings. And the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tested. This is the language in how it describes this metaphor. Just think about it. How a wife has been unfaithful, but this is the way that the husband addresses her and what he creates for her. Wonderful words. A time that God is bringing us into an elevated position, what we heard last week, to see the things from His perspective. It speaks of a door. He puts an expectation in the heart of the wife. Expectation creates a positioning in Christ. Because if you are expectant, right? Are you expectant? In 9 months' time, I will deliver. There's an expectation of something that needs to come to fruition. So there's a positioning. And he positioned the wife into a wilderness, in a wilderness experience, he positions the wife. After speaking tenderly to her. Oh, beautiful romantic language. Yeah. And he goes further and he says, she shall sing there. Where? in the wilderness. Because of how the husband is dealing with her, she's able to sing and respond as in the days of her youth. There's a reset. We've heard the word reset from Dr. Sam. A reset. She goes back to her earlier days, the days of her youth. It speaks of a deliverance as a time when she came out of the land of Egypt. This is the language. It speaks of deliverance. It speaks of a time that she really were joyous. And this is all because of what the head has done, what the husband has done. The past I will wipe away. That's what the scripture says. If you read the narrative correctly, I will also change how the wife addresses the husband. And it will be wiped out of her memory. That's what the word says. Baal will no more be mentioned. And when this alignment comes, you start seeing a response of what has been created in the heavens and what has been created in the earth for the benefit of the wife. You see this interplay. When all of these things come to alignment, and he then addresses the wife as Jezreel. Okay. Restored position in him. Right? That is how he addresses her in the wilderness. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, correct? Now, on our behalf, he is letting the heavens respond. The heavens will respond, the earth shall respond to the grain and the wine and the oil. There's your supply. He is our provision. So the heavens will respond to the earth on our behalf. He the head and we the body. The earth is going to respond with resources. You see that interplay as I've mentioned. What wonderful words that comes from the head again. To remember an unfaithful wife. How he has created those things even from the beginning for us. In order, and then he leaves us for that opportunity to see this and to come into the alignment to him and his purposes. Wonderful. Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He wants to be the head of the body. He wants the wife to submit to him as the husband. But you see how he demonstrates his love. You see how he speaks to the wife. So the wife has, you know, the knee is a raglam. And she can't but just respond to her husband, which is Christ. Beautiful. And she willingly submits. And now she not just adorns herself for Baal, the spirit of Jezebel, but she adorns herself, I'm going to read the scripture later, how she adorns herself for him, which is the bridegroom. On our behalf, he does all of this for us. So wonderful. Everything from the beginning, he has done it all for us. So, in the heart of the wife, he wants to have first place as the husband. Correct? He wants nothing in the heart of any foreign lover. So he takes away the name completely. That doesn't even respond. She will only respond to him with this divine jealousy. His wife, and in him you have been made complete as he is the head over all rule and authority. Now listen to how Revelation says this. Chapter 12, verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven. The sign is for the unbeliever. The word says, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. 12 speaks of authority. Correct? Speaks of government. So who is the head of the wife? Who is the head of the church? Christ. Here is a woman that is adorned, speaks of the bride. She is radiant. She is ready. She has been betrothed to one husband. Wonderful. Ready for marriage. Completely gone through all of the testings. There is no spot on a dress of a wife. And welcome to my cousin and his dear wife here with us. They got married the end of October, Gary. And you can remember she was adorned and there was nothing out of place. What bride have a dress with the groot kool laop and say, come in to come to her husband? It doesn't work that way. She is ready. She is expectant. She is radiant. En die man staan hier op hitterkole. Hy kan nie wag nie. All adorned and ready. This is how eager Christ is for his bride. Everything forgotten of what has transpired. Past is in the past. Hey, who is the authority? And ready, realigned, reconstructed, past is gone, unfaithfulness is gone. And the words tenderly comes to us. This is only how the Father demonstrates to us his love. You know, you get goosebumps. You see, the head is then blameless and spotless. Speaks of the accuser can't point a finger. It's not for who the bride is and the identity of the bride, but it's because of what he has done, even before the foundation of the world. So we as the church need to come into that alignment. We need to remember that we were reconstructed. We were made compatible again. Because something has gone awry. We've listened to the soul we heard 2 weeks ago. And not the spirit. So there can no more be a finger pointed, because the day when the bride arrives, that is the day that the husband had decided, look here, you that were betrothed, I that have made a covenant, I that are about to marry you, nothing can stop that, because I'm ready. The bride is coming completely. And he is ready. And in him you have been made complete, the word says. And he is the head over all rule and authority. Let me conclude with this scripture. Revelation 19:7. Let us rejoice and shout for joy, exulting and triumphant. Let us celebrate and ascribe to him glory and honor. For the marriage of the Lamb at last has come, And his bride has prepared himself. And his bride has prepared herself. Sorry. And the bride has prepared herself. Let us rejoice. Let us shout. Let us ascribe. Let us celebrate. Because this is our identity. So how can we, with such a witness, with such a covenant, not align ourselves, not adorn ourselves for Him alone, not ascribe to the head, which know all things and all things in subject to Him? Myself and Rian was just speaking that when things go awry, you know, we tend to want to take control of circumstances and how things unfold in our lives. But if we know that we have a Father, and a Father like Him, how can we not trust Him? How can we lead with the, you know, by the soul and go for other prospects and not submit to Him willingly and say, Lord, You know the end from the beginning. Right? You have created us. There's nobody like You. You God. But in those difficult times, let us remember this word. In these times when it's tough, and I know it's a reality, it's difficult. But listen to that tender voice of a husband that speaks to the wife and demonstrates it so lovingly, and the way that he can say it, you know. This is how this word has impacted my life in such a tremendous way that if I just think of this, if I just hear the Spirit of God speaking to my heart, most of the things that is happening is so insignificant to His voice and His love towards me personally. You know. And you know, you can also have, and I know you have that testimony of how God has worked things out for you, you know, in extreme difficult circumstances. So take courage this morning by this word. And also, you know, don't just hastily self a word. You know, the heart of the Spirit wants you to engage with it. You know, listen to it. Go over it again. Listen to the Spirit of God when you are in this dealings with God. Because God loves you. You are called according to His purpose. You have been foreordained. So, yeah. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. Amen. The beginning and He is the end. And how powerful He is, before He starts something, He's already completed it. And then He starts it. So knowing that you can put your life and your trust in Him completely and align to Him, you know. Yes, there is sometimes where you need to throw the plumb line again. There comes a time of assessment, right? And normally the end of the year is time for assessment. No? Die jaar is op sy rug, hy is klaar. You can see where the empty chair is. And you evaluate, and you throw the plumb line, And you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you. You know. And if correction needs to come, then correction needs to come. It's difficult, right? But we need to make corrections. Even if it's off slightly, that slightly will be disastrous at the end. So rather make the correction when there is an off now, before you will need to have to break down, you know, and come to complete reset again, you know. So let us listen to when our Father is speaking to us, you know, as a family. He loves us. Right? He cares for us. I've said he's the shepherd. And I don't know, maybe I can close with this completely. I think it's a Sam that said, in one of our household meetings, a lamb that always go astray all the time. The shepherd comes and break the bone. Aina. The lamb can't rear off. Because the lamb always want to rear off and be away from the flock. That is what he said, so. And ik were amen, so. It's a difficult process. It's a difficult time. But don't let the shepherd, you know, have that burden for us that normally want to rear off and go out of alignment all the time. No? Rather say, Lord, I completely submit to you. You take control. I subject myself. I freely give myself. And I submit myself. You know, you take care of me. Like the child that knows that his father is the hero of his life. And nothing can touch him. Nothing can harm him. I have a father that will take care of me. And will take care of you if you want to touch me. With that understanding of how a child see his father. With all his father's flaws. But we have a perfect father. In heaven. Amen. That knows us. Can we all stand? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that only you can speak tenderly to us. And you've created the open door and the opportunity by your grace. And we want to align ourselves completely, Lord. When we evaluate, when we come to a time when we are going through some difficult times, we know, Lord, that you are in control. And it's normally time for our testing. It's normally time for our fiery trials that we will be able to bear your purposes in the earth. Come completely and submit ourselves and become sons of a living God. Not immature, but standing, Lord, as sons in the earth, knowing who we are, knowing our identity. Thank you, Spirit of God, in how you deal with us. Sometimes it is difficult. The soul wants to be in control. But we know, Father, that the word is there sharper that makes that division. That we'll be able to discern and know. And it's so wonderful, Father, that the word declares that we listen to your voice. We know your voice when you speak. And we follow. So we again submit ourselves. We commit ourselves, Lord, to to your dealings, and know that that is the opportunity, and the door is there ready for us to walk through, that we will be able to grow. But thank you that you accelerating it in these times. Thank you, as a family, we know how, Lord, you have really accelerated for us these things. So finally, thank you by your Spirit. You be the person, the Holy Spirit, that will reveal and disclose Him to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you comfort us, that you are our guide, that you are our source, and we look completely and trust in you. And everyone say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.